All right, so this presentation diverges a bit from what you've heard before, but it is relevant because it talks a lot about being patient-centered. I'm on the automatic advancement as well. So I'll just jump straight into it. So my own health report, this is a quality improvement study that's funded by NCI, NIH, and AHRQ. And it's being implemented in 9 pairs of FQHCs and PBRNs across the country. You can see the map right here of the sites. It's a paired cluster practice level randomized pragmatic trial. So we have an early intervention site and a delayed site. The pairs of clinics are paired so that the race and ethnicity of the patients, the payer mix, the age, some of these characteristics are common between the practices. I'm going to go back to this one. So essentially, what should happen is that a patient comes into the clinic. They can actually either fill out the tool through a patient portal beforehand, or they can fill it in when they're in the clinic, or a medical assistant could help them out if there's literacy issues or computer issues. And we address 10 different health domains, which I'll go over a little bit later. So the patient fills out the tool, and it automatically compares their answers to national recommendations in terms of diet, exercise, tobacco, alcohol, anxiety, stress, and depression, and it gives them feedback. It gives them feedback on what they're doing well and what they could improve. It provides a summary report for the patient, and it provides a summary report for the doctor. And this should be a foundation for goal-setting discussions about behavior change and mental health. Okay, so what are we testing in this pragmatic trial? First, can primary care clinics actually systematically collect these patient-reported measures? Can it be integrated into their workflow given the time issues? And on average, we know now that a patient comes in with about 6 issues out of the 10 health domains. So there's a lot of things to cover besides the cold or the abscess that they have or the boil. So these are everyday issues that they're dealing with that are contributing to chronic disease, but might not be the primary reason that they've come in from the visit, but is still something that you want to track over time if you're a patient-centered medical home. Secondly, we want to know whether the use of the My Own Health Report tool leads to increased patient-provider communication and goal-setting discussions around health behaviors and mental health. And we're doing that through a patient experience survey. So 2 weeks after the patient comes in for the visit, either by mail or by phone, they're filling out a survey where we ask them questions from the CAP survey, which is also similar to what the PCMH asks for in terms of evaluation. So why patient-reported measures? The Institute of Medicine, in their seminal 2001 report, defines patient-centered care as providing care that is respectful of and responsive to individual patient preferences, needs, and values, and ensuring that patient values guide all clinical decisions. So we've talked about electronic health records so far today, and billions of dollars have been invested in electronic health records, and so the issue is how can we be patient-centered if we're not actually asking patients about their goals and their behaviors? And so we really think that it's important to start using tools in clinics where you're actually eliciting those responses from patients in a systematic way that you can track over time. So in 2001, 93 content experts from the Society of Behavioral Medicine came together, primary care, psychosocial, behavioral health experts, and they identified about 2 to 3 measures for 13 health domains at that point. Later on, there was an NIH town hall meeting, 2 days long, which tried to boil those down to a very brief set of measures. On the second day, key stakeholders, including patients, were invited to add their input. Also in that process, before the town hall meeting, there was a wiki-based tool that was used so that people could actually send in their responses and their opinions on these measures. And eventually what we came up with was 10 health domains plus demographics, so the anxiety and depression counts as 2. And it's 17 brief screening questions that are covered in these 10 health domains. And if the patient tests positively for anxiety or depression or substance abuse or risky drinking, the tool seamlessly leads them into extended questions from the patient health questionnaire, so PHQ-9, Audit C for alcohol, DAS-T for drug abuse, and for anxiety, the generalized anxiety disorder test. So a lot of these measures are validated measures that, as a PCMH clinic, you'd want to be tracking these issues over time. So this is what the patient will see. So in my case in Texas, we have 90% of the patients at the FQHC where we're doing the intervention are Spanish-speaking, undocumented, self-pay patients. And so there's a lot of literacy issues. A lot of people in their own country have not finished secondary school, and so the medical assistant is actually helping them to fill out this tool. Ideally, it would take about 5 minutes. Sometimes it could take 10 to 12 if you have mental health issues. People start talking a lot about what they're dealing with. So the patient will see this in the end. So they'll see in the... They'll see their score, they'll see the recommended score, they'll see keep up the good work, medium priority, high priority for these different health areas, and then importantly they're asked, are you ready to change this health behavior, and then do you even want to discuss it? And so this gives a little bit of a guide to the doctor when he or she is walking into the room to say, what am I going to focus on in this visit? The second page of the report, there's some room for notes. I kind of just truncated it here, but there's some room for notes that the patient could take if they can write. And then there's some goals that you'd hope that they would establish with the provider during the visit and a follow-up plan. So here's some synergies between my own health reports. This was, I don't know who asked before, but NCQA, the patient-centered medical, the standards for 2011. So is everyone familiar with PCMH standards? There's 6 standards, 27 elements, and I think 149 factors. And so essentially what I did was I went through and I looked at what are the synergies between these two tools, and thankfully, and I think importantly, there are a lot. So this first one, actually, I need to get my
notes for this one.
Okay, so I'm not gonna go into great detail. We can talk about this afterwards, but I sort of highlighted in the column, yes, the more tool does coincide with what PCMH is asking you to do. Maybe people have other thoughts on this, but the first one that I'll highlight that I think is important is the factor number seven, patient and family mental health and substance abuse. So PCMH standard asks you to assess whether the patient or the patient's family has any mental health conditions or substance abuse issues. So the MORE tool does this very well. It also asks on factor 9 for depression screening. So the patient health questionnaire is kind of the gold standard in the field. So what I've seen in the practice is that it's paper form right now. And a lot of times if you come in with a bum knee or something else, you don't even ask the person about depression, right? And so this incentivizes you to systematically do it over time. So PCMH standard 3. Element A, the practice implements evidence-based guidelines through point-of-care reminders for patients with, and then let's look at the third condition, so related to unhealthy behaviors or mental health or substance abuse. Again, unhealthy behaviors for the MORE tool, we're asking about, for diet, we're asking about soda and sugar-sweetened drinks, we're asking about fast food, and we're asking about fruits and vegetables. So if you're not doing those things the way you're supposed to be, maybe there's a room to talk about that. And to record what the patient's behaviors are at that visit, and then at the next one to see if they've actually changed. Mental health and substance abuse as well is covered in the tool. And then the element B, to identify high risk or complex patients. So to go beyond the lab results, to see what the actual behaviors are. And maybe you can use those behaviors to track these patients over time, to pull reports from the EHR and such. Element C, standard 3, collaborates with the patient or family to develop an individual care plan, including treatment goals that are reviewed and updated at each relevant visit. So that second page of this sheet that I showed you, there's room for the patient to actually take home something with what are my goals and what is my treatment plan for this. And then we'll move on. So PCMH4, looking at factor number 6, counsels at least 50% of patients or families to adopt healthy behaviors. So when the doctor actually sees this report, it becomes the foundation for this kind of goal setting discussion, and could be used to fulfill this factor. Here are the practice supports patients and families that need access to community resources. So the MORE tool, really, in order to use this tool, your practice has to be willing to connect with community resources, because the primary care clinic can't do it all on their own. So when you have, 70% of the patients who are dealing,
Just a very subtle but important point.
Yeah.
Is the MORE tool a patient portal or a PHR?
No, it's not a patient, when you say PHR, patient health report. Patient health record. So right now it's a publicly available website, but it could be integrated into your EHR. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it could be integrated into your patient portal as well. Some practices are using it in the paper form, and there is a scoring sheet that they can use. But ideally, with a PCMH recognition, you'd want it to be electronic, I think. Okay, so you need to maintain a current list of community resources that you can connect people with, because what's the point of identifying that someone is suffering from chronic depression if you can't actually send them to, besides just medicating them, which seems to be sometimes what happens, can you actually connect them with a behavioral psychologist easily and seamlessly? Okay, so if you were interested in using My Own Health Report, and I think right now we have preliminary results, and it's looking positive that it does actually improve patient-provider communication. As I said before, on average we're seeing that about a patient comes in with problems in about 6 of the 10 health domains. Many more people are ready to change than want to discuss, but still the levels of ready to change are lower. And so some issues would be, how are you actually going to collect this data? Is it going to be the patient themselves that's filling it out? Is it going to be a medical system that's helping them? Would it be by phone, by mail, in the clinic, through a patient portal? How is it integrated into your workflow? And these are all questions that are going to affect your level of implementation, which was talked about before. At the provider level, what I've seen a lot is, who at the clinic is going to champion this? Is it going to be the quality improvement person? Is it going to be the chief medical officer? Because there's so many competing demands for the staff, and so how is this going to be prioritized? That kind of goes into the second point there. Is there a robust system of referral to community resources? There has to be if you're going to use this tool, because you can't just identify the issues and then not refer someone to help or address it in your clinic if you have a nutritionist or if you have nutrition classes or physical activity, connect with the YMCA. There's a lot of different ways that you could do it. And then the patient level, and the demographic questions, it does go beyond just saying whether the patient speaks Vietnamese or Spanish or whatever the language is. It asks their level of comfort in dealing with a provider in English versus in their native language. Do they need an interpreter? And the literacy, the education level, the age, are you dealing with a Medicare population? Do they not feel as comfortable using a computer? Would it need to be on paper? So those are some of the issues, and we're going to go into the panel discussion now. I don't know if you want to. Okay. Thank you. Yes.